The Holy Gospel according to John, the third chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God loved the world in this way, that God gave the Son, the only begotten one, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do not want, who do what is true, come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please join me in prayer. God of all loving compassion, love us, keep us, hold unto us in all things, even and especially when we are tempted to flee your love and light, and then release us again that we might in turn love one another. Amen. A very good morning to you all. Today we have got one of the most translated texts in the whole world. It has been translated in almost every language under the sun. And this is the text where you find on cars, bumpers, in our sitting rooms, in different places, in bars, wherever you find, this is one of the scripture, the text, for God so loved the world, highly translated, and the text that a lot of people, even in my Sunday school, was the first verse that I recited. And I think many of you, we have also tried or recited this text. So it's one of the most common text, but one of the most difficult text, and one of the texts that makes me more afraid. But again, this is John. John, we understand how John writes to his Johannine community. But let me begin by just giving you a brief context of this text before I can go further. The setting of this text begins right in the first chapter of chapter 3. And here we find Nicodemus came after dark to talk privately with Jesus. And the text says he is a Pharisee. And we know the Pharisees were a party devoted to strict observance of the Torah. So Nicodemus comes looking for some clarification of traditional Jewish teaching. Jesus starts the pivot to the different frame in his enigmatic statement that the kingdom of God will only be seen by those born again, or born from above. And that statement brought confusion in Nicodemus. So in verse 14 is a continuation of now Jesus explaining what this means to Nicodemus. So he is one of the most profound statement that we have in our scripture. For God so loved. I want to talk today about this phrase, for God so loved. I will try to interpret it in two ways. But let me begin by saying Jesus articulates in this statement that God is fundamentally a God of love. The love is the logic by which the kingdom of God runs, and that God's love trumps up everything, even justice in the end. I realize not everyone reads this text very closely, but I want you to go a little further. So when we read this text, this statement, Jesus says, everyone who believes. And that's where the problem is in many readers. It brings a lot of issues as if it's only to those who believe. And in other words, we may interpret it the other way, like those who do not believe will be judged. That is when we stop at that statement, it shows as if those who do not believe will be judged or will be condemned forever. But read on a little further. For the next verse, Jesus states, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Period. So, for the giving of the Son, he references isn't simply sending Jesus to deliver a message. It is giving Jesus over to die on a cross, to die for us. Notice something here, that God doesn't ask our opinion about all this in the first place. God doesn't ask our permission, and God doesn't even consult us. But God just goes ahead and gives the Son over to die for us, for you and me. And there is, in a nutshell, that God in Jesus has made God's decision. And it is for us. Yes, we can run, we can hide, but we can't change the fact that God loves us. That God in the first place loves the whole world more than we can imagine. And so, no wonder this is the world's popular text, or the Bible, the most popular Bible verse, because it is indeed good news to the world. The good news, even the best, to us and to the entire world. Hard, it can be as hard as I said before, but hard as it is, we are not in control. Hard because it is not up to us. It is hard because every time we hear how much God loves us, we also now know that we had nothing to do with it. And we cannot influence it. And therefore, we are not in control. And sometimes it makes me more afraid about it. But this morning, I want us to listen to this phrase once more. For God so loved the world. And the word so has got two meanings in this text. And from the interpretation that we have here, or the translation that we have, it's clear in this way. It's houtos in Greek, in this way. But today I want to emphasize the other, the soul in another way, which means the intensity which is being emphasized in this text. You know, the intensity or the emphasis is just like if I say, you know, it means something when I say, I love you. You know, if I tell my wife that I love you, it means something. But if I say, I love you so much, it means something. You know, if I say, you are beautiful, yes, you are beautiful. But if I say, you are so beautiful, it means something. There's an intensity that I'm trying to emphasize. You're not just beautiful, honey, but you are so beautiful. You are so beautiful. I love you so much. With that deep and intense love, deep emotionally, I love you so much. So it expresses the intensity of the feeling. It expresses the intense, the inner emotion. I feel so happy, so happy. It's more than just being happy, but it's so happy today. Right? So the same thoughtful intensity is expressed in Ephesians, where the writer is saying, God's love for us is so abundant, and God's care for us is so great. So many people say that John 3:16 is the gospel in a nutshell. So today, God is saying to all of us, I love you so much. You and me, all of us, I love you so much. This is what God is saying this morning. And these words are reserved for very special and sacred relationships. God loves not just the church, not just the Christians, not just good people who stay out of trouble, not just you and me. God loves the world. God loves killers, by the way. God loves thieves, by the way. God loves robbers, prostitutes. He loves them, all of us. God loves Americans. God loves Asians. God loves Europeans, Africans, blacks, white, yellow, brown, women and men, children, gay and straight. All of us, God loves us. So God loved the whole world. And this is what the message is saying to us this morning. And this is what is so amazing about this text, the whole world. And you'd wonder, so does it mean Muslims, Buddhists, Taoists, Confucians? Yes, everybody, the whole world, God loves everybody. And this is what is amazing about this text, that God loves all people who don't like him. Even the people who don't like him, God loves them. The people who do not believe in him, he loves them. The people who care less about him, he loves them. So God loves the world, and the world does not love God. This is what is so absolutely amazing, that the intensity of God's emotion is not just directed to Christians. That the intensity of God's love is not just directed towards the church people. That the intensity of God's love is not just directed to your little life and my little life. The intensity of God's emotion is for the world. Now, there comes the most difficult part. That God gave his only son to die for the world, that the world might be saved. You know, I remember when I had my first child, my son, gotten that, you know. You know, I can imagine this little boy, this just precious little boy. If you'd ask me to give this precious boy, no, you won't even try to catch me. I will try all means to run away with this little young boy. But God gave this only, his only, that the world might be saved. God's love springs from himself. And his love, because it is his nature to love. So God is love. And in the gift of his only begotten son, God commended his love to us. In that while we were yet sinners, in due time Christ died for us. And this is the second interpretation of the word so. So the issue is, when you raise your eyes for him on the cross, we will be saved. Just as the serpents during the time of Moses, when you look, then you will be saved. So in other words, God is saying in this text, in this way you have been saved. So in other words, in this way, when Christ was raised on the cross, you were saved. In this way, in other words, let me put it this way. In this manner, when he was raised on the cross, then you were saved. That's the second interpretation of the word so, for God so loved. In this way, when he was raised on the cross. So that when you look on him on the cross, you are saved. My dear friends, this morning, Jesus says, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. It is God's choice to bring light where there is darkness, to change the circumstances in our human condition, in our deeds. If our deeds are evil, the light comes to embrace us in our darkness and so to save us. So the word save in this text, I want to unpack a little bit more about this word save in this text. This word is interpreted in various ways. When we are doing the book of Acts in our Bible study again, we talked about the word save. But let me bring another way of interpreting this word save, especially in this text. And it is from a Greek translation of the Hebrew word, meaning to bring into the large open space. And this is the interpretation I want to use this morning. The word save is to bring into a large opening space. So the claim here is that the human condition is like being trapped in a room from which there is no escape. It can be like that for us. When we prefer to hide those aspects of our lives with which we aren't ready to deal. Our text wants us to assure us, however, that God so loved the world that he takes us one by one into a wide and emancipating space where there are no alternatives to our dead ends, in addition to a boundless future. So if God takes this initiative to overwhelm our darkness, to make us new through his love alone, who stands condemned? So, in other words, to be saved through that love in which Jesus lived and died for us is to be freed from the narrow strictures, confined attitudes entrapments of our own making. The love which Jesus shows frees us to be open about who we are, what we have done, and what we are afraid to do. And God does not limit our lives and possibilities. Rather, God opens doors and tears down the walls. So, in this text, the purpose of God having sent his son was to save the world. Just as the purpose of commanding Moses to erect a serpent on a pole was to save the people from death. Now, the son came to save, to grant eternal life because God loved the world. That was Jesus' announcement. I am here because God, who loved you of the old, still does. He still loves you today. He sent me to tell you, to show you, to gather you up to life with him forever. So, of course, one of the questions is, so what do we do? We today, if we are not condemned, if we have been saved, so what do we need to do is the question of the day. And of course, when we are embraced by a love so wide and broad and high as God's own mercy, we will look for ways to share this love. When the overwhelming brightness of this light claims us in the midst of our darkness, then we know we have no choice but to be the light to the world. There are people everywhere right now, marginalized groups, targeted religions, alienated extremists, and so forth, who need our love. A few days ago, I was watching the news, and I saw a young man who did the bombing 2013 of the Boston Marathon, asking for mercy. And I said, yes, he needs our mercy. Can we be able to get to that level? Even such a person needs us, needs our love, needs us to pray for him for what he has done. That's what we are called to do this morning. We do not always agree with all their perspective or the way they think or their orientations, but we need to love them because God loves the world. Even if we do not agree with them, we need to love them. Even if they come from a different political affiliation, different from us, we need to love them. My dear friends, this morning, let me conclude by saying, wrapping up this text, God's plan for us through the only begotten Son is a universal salvation. He gave us Christ Jesus, and we may gladly accept this great gift. Out of the riches of his grace, he has given. He is giving and will give the Lord Jesus Christ and all the priceless gifts which are contained in him to all need sinners who will simply trust him. As long as there is a God, we shall not only exist, but we shall live. And as long as there is heaven for us, we shall enjoy it. As long as there is Christ, we shall live in his love. And as long as there is an eternity, we shall continue to fill it with the delight because God loves us. He loves all of us. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, amen.